welcome, welcome, welcome to CNC Chat Chat. Oh my, it's been so long since I've seen you, okay? Too long. We missed you. We had to come back at you. I'm your host. I'm one of your hosts, at least, Cardelia Reed, and thank you for joining us today.
And I'm the other half of this duo. I'm Claudia DiMartino. And welcome, and CNC stands for our names, Cardelia and Claudia, Claudia and Cardelia. And we come together each week to talk about life issues from a biblical perspective. There are no masks, there's no pretense, there's no script, and it's just us keeping it real. And today we are going to be doing something a bit different. We're going to be dealing with a very serious life issue, and it's something that we've touched on in various past episodes, and it's the topic of suicide.
Absolutely.
And it may seem strange to talk about suicide at this time of year, especially since we're going into the holiday season.
Right.
But the reason we're going to deal with it is because from 2021 over 2020, the suicide rate in this country is up 4%. And in December, the season of peace, love, and joy, the suicide rate is up 6%. So it's something we need to deal with. And what's different about today's show is that we have a special guest with us this week. And she's going to share her personal story. She's had to deal with suicide in her family not once, but twice. Her name is Andy Polin, and I've known Andy for over 20 years. We met when I was an actress in New York, and she is an actress and a producer. And life was good until July 23rd, 2014. That's when her youngest son, Todd, committed suicide. Then 2 years later, her oldest son, Kenny, who was so despondent over the loss of his brother, he also took his life. But Andy is one of those who is triumphing over tragedy. And she's joining us today via Zoom. So we welcome you, Andy, and we're going to chat and allow you to share your story with us and our viewers, because we believe that your journey will really be a help to many.
I sure hope so.
Yeah. So everyone, this is Andy Polin from New York. We welcome you, Andy, and we're very grateful that you're here with us today. And we know it takes a lot of courage to come on a platform like this, but we know that you have been coming out now, and you've been talking to students in schools, and you've been sharing and doing some other work. You've been getting a podcast, a web series together on the subject matter. But before we even get into all of that, we'd like to just have you just share from your heart about Todd. First, let's deal with Todd, because he was your youngest, and he took his life first. Can you tell us a little bit about him, and were there any signs leading up to his taking his life?
None. The only thing I can say about Todd was he was a very private, sorry about my voice, he was a very private person, and I always tried to respect that. You know, had I known what I know today, I might have dug a little deeper, but he was always very secretive, very private, and I just thought that's the way he was till after he left. That's when I found out all this stuff about his life that I had no idea about, that he was keeping from us. He was such a good kid. He had a great sense of humor. He was really liked. He was going, didn't have a ton of friends, but some really good ones. I was shocked at his wake that he didn't see it that way. He said he had no friends. 1,500 people showed up.
His funeral?
His funeral.
I mean,
wow.
He said he had no friends at college when he started. And one by one, I was asking these kids, how do you know college? How do you know college? How do you?
Right.
And I'm like, they said I would go in the hallway and play guitar for everybody, which he loved doing. I know more about my son now than I did when he was here.
You know, Andy, I just want to say something really quick. A lot of times people do not realize the impact they have on people while they are alive. or even period. And unfortunately, a lot of times we find out by other people that they actually impacted someone else a whole lot more.
In a positive way.
So that's certainly the case with Todd. But also, can you tell us if mental illness runs in any part of the family also? You may want to share that.
Yes, my father's mother was depressed, and my own mother was depressed and an alcoholic.
Mm, okay.
Never really hit my sister and myself. Can't say her whole life was joyous, but never gotten to, I'm not a drinker. Never my sister either. That's as far as I know. I don't think on my husband's side at all.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Now you had mentioned, Andy, that Todd had a life that you didn't know about. Can you elaborate on that a bit?
When he graduated high school, he wanted to go to Southern Connecticut, which is only 15 minutes from the house, because it's a state school and it's so inexpensive. I wanted him to live there to get the full college experience. After a year, he said, I want to move to an apartment. I said, great. So we were paying for the apartment. Every month he was handing me grant checks. I'm like, wow, this kid's doing great. Then came time for him to graduate. And he said, Mom, I really don't want you to go to my graduation. I don't want to go. I said, all right, I'll respect that. Not everybody likes to walk to, a month later, when he took his life, my daughter went to the school to go get his diploma. He'd only went to school one quarter. I said, how is that even possible? He was handing me grant checks every semester. He was cashing the check that I was giving him for rent or tuition or whatever, going to the bank and writing out a money order to me with the money I have given him. Mm.
I see.
Wow.
And let me ask you, so you find these out. I know this is a part of your grieving process when you find these things out. Can you tell us the impact at this time that it had on the rest of your family, including the other son that had also passed away Kenny, from that time? Like, what kind of impact did it have on your family learning all these things and while they were grieving and things like that?
Very, very hard. I think Kenny the worst, because they were, even though they were 7 years apart, they were best friends, absolute best friends. Mm-hmm. They could talk each other's words out of them. I mean, it was uncanny. Kenny lived in South Carolina with his wife and his son, and Todd would fly there as often as he could. Kenny would come here. They were on the phone constantly. So when we couldn't get a hold of them that night, I called Kenny because I knew he would talk to him. It's like, Mom, we've been trying to get him all day. So it had a big impact. Of course, my daughter is the only child left, and she doesn't talk about it much. I think she's afraid to talk about it to me. But I did talk to her husband. I said, does Kelly talk about it? And he said, yes, here and there. I said, okay, it doesn't have to be me as long as she's talking, She said to me when I first started, I can't believe I'm an only child. That just hit my heart, from two younger brothers to none.
Okay. And she's the oldest of the, you said two younger brothers, right?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So then the other thing is that, do you want to just tell us exactly how it happened with the older son, like the process of when he took his life also, like, were there any signs with him and, things like that?
I didn't see signs for that. I saw Kenny had a drug problem, but he'd been clean for a few years. And when this happened with Todd and all people with Todd, we were like, oh my God, Kenny and the drugs. And he's like, everyone, leave me alone. I'm going to be fine. Well, he wasn't. About 9 months later or so, he started on drugs again. So we sent him to a place in Georgia for 30 days to clean up. He did really well. He came out of there so happy and so feeling so good, and seemed to be doing great. About 6-7 months after that, I could just tell in his voice, I said, Kenny, you're doing drugs again, aren't you? No. And I talked to his wife. She said, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. He wouldn't admit it. I kept saying, Kenny, just admit it so we can get you help. Mom, I'm not doing anything. I'm like, Ken, please. So all of a sudden, I'm at the store with my granddaughter, and the phone rings, and it's my daughter-in-law. Now, she's never called me in the middle of the day like that. So I'm thinking, what is up? And I picked up, and she said, she's crying. She said, Kenny's gone. I said, where'd he go? And she said, he committed suicide. I was screaming at her, why would you say something like that? Don't say, you know, I couldn't believe it. It's, I couldn't believe my ears. Absolutely couldn't believe it. So if you want to ask if I saw that one, tell me no. Yeah. I really didn't. He wasn't doing anything that was, unfortunately, out of the ordinary for Kenny. He was grieving. He went back to the drugs. I had no idea. And he left a picture of his brother on his lap with the note saying, it's time for everyone to stop spending money on me getting better. It's time for me to be with Todd and heal with him.
You know, sometimes, and you know, sometimes we can underestimate a broken heart. You know, a lot of times, especially like a parent losing a child, like what you're talking about, or even, you know, people when they lose like their, you know, spouse or something like that. Sometimes you wonder, like, I know you thought what you could have done differently. And even when I've lost loved ones, one of the things I said, I should have been praying for them more. I should have been praying for them more. Why didn't I intercede and pray for them more? Did those kind of thoughts cross your mind? I mean, I know they did, but tell me how you handled that. Please talk to us, because there's so many people out there that can either identify with that or even thinking about it, Andy.
The worst part, and not the worst, one of the worst parts is the guilt. I mean, after Todd, I was beside myself. It's like, how could I not see this? And why did I let him keep these thoughts to him? You know, you just believe yourself and over and over. And just several weeks after this happened, somebody found me on Facebook. I can't remember to this day how. And she said, we see you lost a child. Would you like to be a part of our group? It's called MAS, Mothers Against Suicide. And it's a great group because all these groups are great because always somebody's been there. Always somebody has felt what you did. There's always somebody. If I'm up at 3 a.m. crying, I'll go online. I'll see moms on there, you know, because we don't sleep. You know, it's really good to have a support system. The guilt still pops up once in a while. Kenny, I kind of get mad at him in the car. Sometimes I'm yelling at him, how could you have left me like this? I take it so personally because he knew. I mean, not that his wife and his son shouldn't, for sure. But he was my rock. I couldn't have gotten through Todd without him. And I just couldn't believe that he would leave like that. It was so painful.
To that point, Andy, through your grieving process and kind of coming to terms with first Todd taking his life and then Kenny, how did you get through the first round of this and then have to get through it again? Because you said that Kenny was your rock. What was your grieving process like?
After him?
Let's do Todd and then we can do Kenny.
After Todd, it was just a complete, you know, it was weeks and weeks of finding out things about him I never knew. So that was it gave a level of peace because there was so much disturbing stuff. Not that he did horrible things, but there were so many lies in his life. He was so unhappy. I found out that, not that I think he's in a better place, but maybe for some reason he just couldn't deal here. Because there were so many things I found out about him that he was unhappy about, never shared. And he had such a warped opinion about his worth. I think I told you he was offered a job, an incredible job. You know, this is 2014, and they were making an offer of $60,000 a year, company car, travel. And he supposedly took the job. And when he passed away, he had never showed up at the job. So my daughter went to the place he said he met him, thinking he made the whole thing up, and found the guy that would have been his boss. And she said, I'm Todd Poland's sister, and told him what happened. And he said, it's the oddest thing. Everything he told you about the job is completely true. The salary, company car, I was grooming him to take over for me. He said, but when the day came for him to start, please find someone else. I'm not worth it.
Oh my goodness.
This is
I rather made the whole thing up. That's the worst thing I possibly could have heard. And I think that was my time where I started thinking, maybe he couldn't be happy here. He certainly couldn't with the secrets, with nobody allowed him to help him. Mm-hmm. He felt, you know, we found a psychiatrist card, and I called the guy who couldn't tell me anything. So I went to a psychiatrist, and he called her, and he said, I don't have much to tell you. He said he wasn't going to school. He did tell him. He told him a few things. He said, I certainly didn't see that coming at all.
Wow.
He said he only came once.
You know, I want to say something to you, and I want people that's listening to know this as well. When it is okay, like when you said you would be yelling in the car, it's okay to do that.
Yeah.
Because it says clearly in Philippians 1, whenever you get a chance to read it, Philippians 1, verses 22 through 26, Apostle Paul talks about whether he should go home or stay in the body. If he goes home, it's best to be with the Lord.
Yeah.
If he stays with his body, it's best for us, for us down
going
here.
Going home meaning dying.
Meaning passing away. So he's saying regardless whether he stays in his body or go home, either way he'll know what's going on by the Spirit. So it's okay to talk to that loved one. It's okay to scream and yell. I know many people that do it, okay? It's okay to just do that. It says it in the Bible, it still happens. They're still hearing you. So just take heart in knowing that. That's what I'm saying to you.
Mm-hmm.
And I know a lot of us can identify with someone passing away and finding out things that you didn't know when that person was alive.
Yeah.
And you feel almost like betrayed, you know. Is that the feeling you had, Andy? Betrayal?
Yeah, among 100 other words, that's one of them.
Well, it's a good word. I mean, it's not a good feeling, but it's a good way to feel because you can't talk. They can't talk back.
Yeah. Now, just I have a question for you, Andy. You know, you said that you started going to attending these different groups for support.
Yes.
Was that your only support system? Mm-hmm. How was your family coming together to support each other?
We were kind of estranged for a little bit. My daughter wasn't speaking to me. I still don't know why. We ended up going to get help together. And I don't remember what the issues were. It's been 6 years. This was after Kenny. She just completely stopped talking to me. Like she was taking it out on me. My husband and I were okay, but like walking around the house, not talking.
Yeah, the shock of it all.
We just had to go to family counseling. Get our feelings out, you know. I mean, my daughter was acting like she hated me. I had no idea what I did. I was like, does she blame me for this? You know, it's hard to pick up the pieces. And, you know, she'll talk to my husband a little about it now. And he asked her the other day. And she said, I just keep busy with my girls.
All right.
And basically what we all do. I keep busy with the acting. I keep busy with talking to people about suicide.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're going to be finishing up this segment in a few minutes, and then we'll pick it up again in the next one. So I don't want to like really get into a new topic right now before because I don't want to cut it off. But in terms of your healing process, and because you didn't have the support of your family, because you were all grieving at the same time, you were all dealing with this shock and such. Did you find yourself feeling alone in a sense of I don't have anybody either, or was the support system that you were creating for yourself helping you with that?
There's many times I prefer to be alone, to be honest.
Yeah.
And I felt that way then too. But yes, the support groups. Totally. I mean, one of my best friends who I probably will never meet is a mom in West Virginia who lost both of her sons, too.
Oh, my.
We talk on the phone. You know, I just know. I mean, she was one of the calls I made after Kenny. I'd known her 2 years at that point. And I called her. Her husband said she'd be sleeping. I said, get her up. Wake her up.
Absolutely. I would love to know, can you share with us how this has affected your prayer life, your spiritual time, just anything that has changed or heightened in you, because you've made a difference in a lot of people's lives through these support groups. Like, how has this changed you spiritually?
Well, I have to admit, for the first while, I was extremely angry with God.
Of course.
How can he do this to me? And I realized it wasn't his doing. But you blame whoever you can, other than yourself.
Right. Yeah.
Like, you have to take it out on someone. It's like, what did I do so badly to deserve this kind of life? Yeah. You know? So, yeah, it did change. But no, I'm still prayed out. And I talk to them through him.
Yes.
And I do whatever I can to communicate.
Yeah.
But that's normal. That's very normal to feel angry and blaming God. That's very normal.
It's very normal.
I'm sure a lot of people are dealing with that right now, Andy. So thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
That's huge.
That's where I was going to go with this, mm-hmm. and you brought it in. So thank you. Because one thing that I've learned, not having gone through I'm going to be very honest at this point. At one point in my life, I thought about taking my life. It was I was out of work. I was in an accident. I had so much pain. I had no money coming in. I really thought about, I can't live like this anymore. It's over. But obviously that didn't happen, because what I did, I cried out to God, because I was crying out, how could you let this happen to me? What have I done wrong? You know, the litany of what you were going through. Thankfully, I did not follow through. And this is a very hard thing to admit. And I'm admitting it on, I have it in my book. I'm admitting it on a worldwide television here. But
well, let me tell you.
Go ahead.
When I was seeing a psychiatrist regular when this all happened, and she said, have you thought about suicide? I looked at her, I said, wouldn't you think I was crazy if I didn't?
Right.
She said, true.
Exactly.
I said, of course I think about it. I'm like, really? No, but do I think about it? Of course.
Yeah.
I think joining my boys, which I will when it's my time.
Yeah. It's like you get to the point, it's like, I can't take this anymore. But there's a scripture I always quote. It's out of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, mm-hmm. which is, Lord, you promised that you would not give me more than I could bear, and you would provide a way of escape. And the escape is through him. Mm-hmm. The escape is him going to him and asking him, help me. Help. And that's what I did. I cried out, sobbing tears, help me, because I didn't know what to do.
All right.
So it is very normal to cry out when you don't, there's no explanation for anything.
Right.
And it feels like you're just being bombarded constantly with tragedy. So
well, I show off my necklace. This is the ashes of Todd.
Wow.
This is it. Kenny.
Wow. My God. Yeah. Very interesting.
I wanted to thank one person. Mm. My career coach who's in L.A., Brian Pataka.
Oh, I know Brian, yes. I know Brian.
He's my joy. I talk to him and I'm smiling the rest of the day.
Yeah, he's a wonderful... I'm going to reach out to him now that you've mentioned his name, and I'm going to say we talked. We did this.
So I know that we're going to get ready to introduce the next show, but hang on, because we do these shows in sequences. If you've been with us, we're going to do another sequence to this. But there's some things that we don't all understand about the spiritual world. And Andy's going to open up about some things spiritually that we don't always talk about. Mm-hmm. So we want to open up that door, because sometimes there's no natural explanation for things that happen to us supernaturally.
Exactly.
And that's
exactly
what has happened to Andy. So we want to make sure we give some answers. Mm-hmm. We open up to what Andy has to say about it. We open up to a lot of things that's going on, even right now, that Andy's talking about. Suicide is everywhere, as Claudia talked about. We're going to open up the door for that, because we need to be aware of the spiritual realm.
Exactly. But also, with that said, Andy has been gracious to say that she would be open to people contacting her as a support system. So, Andy, could you let people know how they can get in touch with you, should they need to reach out or find out about support groups or anything like that?
Can I see the spelling of my name?
No, it's Andy Poland, A-N-D.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes, so it's backwards. It's Poland Andy One.
Poland
Andy One on Instagram.
Okay.
And you have to have that one. Because if you don't have the one, you'll go to the person that stole my account.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't want that.
We've all had that happen. Okay, so it's Poland, P-O-L-A-N-D, Andy, A-N-D-Y.
No, I.
I. Yes, I always write I and then I say Y. I don't know why. A-N-D-I-1. And right. That's her Instagram account. Instagram. So please feel free. She's more than willing to be a Absolutely. Source for you, as a resource for you. And also, as I was doing research for this segment, I came across a Christian helpline for those who are considering suicide, and it's called The Hope, HOPE.com. Their number is 1-800-273-8255. They're available 24/7. So there are resources for you. And I just feel this phrase just keeps coming up in my spirit, which is suicide is a permanent solution to a temporary problem.
Oh, that's so good.
You know, just talk to your kids. Just tell them if they can't come to you, find someone that you can confide in when things get bad. Just watch for sadness, loneliness, depression. I mean, I can't say I would have seen any of them, but I'm certainly more aware. And, you know, parents just, if they seem to be hiding things, just tell them if anything's wrong.
Yeah. And I think that is even more true today since we have gone through the lockdowns and COVID and kids have been reclusive. People have been reclusive. They are lacking that stimulus, that camaraderie, that companionship, that human connection.
Right.
And, you know, teenagers tend to lock themselves away. And I was stunned that in the age group of 15 to 24, that has increased 7% in 1 year.
Yeah.
There are resources for you. So hang in there because we will be coming back to you with Andy again to continue this conversation. But again, she's going to talk more about turning her tragedy into triumph.
Oh, very good. That's
and
so good.
We're grateful that she's here, and we look forward to seeing you on the next show.
Yeah. Thank you. See you next time.